Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, we have Sheila Smith, Minnesota Citizens for the Arts Executive Director, and I would say not only a good friend, but a celebrity within the arts advocacy world. Sheila, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm delighted to talk to you.
And we're delighted to talk to you because you really represent what a successful arts advocacy campaign and activity and everything in between is all about. So you need to bring us up to speed in terms of the now famous Legacy Amendment, would you?
Sure. A while back, all the way back into 1991, we had this annual fight at the legislature to get enough resources for access to the arts in Minnesota. And so we started looking at dedicated sources of funding.
Mm-hmm.
And after a couple different ideas bloomed, we eventually came upon an effort by our hunting and angling community to pass a constitutional amendment to create a dedicated funding for land preservation.
Mm-hmm.
And the group was small and couldn't get a hearing. So one of our arts-friendly legislators said, well, I'll give you a hearing if you put the arts in there, which he did and had a hearing. And it passed out of the committee, much to everyone's surprise, and then went very speedily to the Senate floor where it failed because someone tried to put on a hostile amendment. But the activity there made us realize what a powerful coalition this could be, the hunting and angling and outdoors types plus the arts advocates. And after many years of legislative ups and downs, the legislature passed it in 2008, sending it to the Minnesota public for a statewide vote. And what it was a very slight increase in the state sales tax, 0.375%, such a tiny percentage, actually, that it's only, if you're spending $10, you're only spending 4 pennies more. So it's a very, very tiny percentage. But over the course of the year and everything, all the sales tax interactions that people have all over the year, it kind of adds up. And the new dollars went into 4 designated funds.
Mm-hmm.
So a third of it to land conservation, a third of it to water conservation, about 14% to parks and trails, and then the remainder 19.75% to the arts and culture fund.
Mm-hmm.
And so now every 2 years we go back to the legislature and we ask them to appropriate out the money that has been designated to that fund.
Mm-hmm.
And because the economy is improving, the dollars are increasing. So this year we got a bit of an increase.
So you're not only doing the right thing, but getting a lot of money. By the way, congratulations. You are being recognized as of yesterday based on the information. One of the number one state per capita investment in the arts, sort of speak. So congratulations. That speaks not only to results, but also the need of developing coalitions, Sheila. Don't you think? What is the key to success? And if somebody might be thinking, like Delaware, about doing that, what is the thing to do? What is the secret, the recipe, if possible?
Well, I think, first of all, it's a long-term commitment to being advocates for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, they just give up. And as soon as you give up, of course, nothing's going to happen. So you've got to keep trying. Just keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. And the next thing is to take advantage of things that are in the environment that you can leverage to get something done. So, you know, this constitutional amendment idea, it wasn't our idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of our friends who linked together the arts issue with the outdoors conservation folks. And we learned really quickly how powerful it was to have partners who were not the usual partners. The hunting and angling folks, there's only 17% of Minnesotans hunt, but over 60% of Minnesotans like to fish. It's a very, very popular activity. And in Minnesota, because our winters are pretty harsh, as soon as winter breaks, we are all outside. Every warm day is a precious, happy thing. And so we are very heavy users of parks, very heavy users of the state natural areas. We have the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, And so we have this culture in Minnesota of just getting the heck outside as quick as possible as soon as the sun's out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think it's something special about Minnesota is our mm-hmm. deep connection to the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we also have higher per capita participation in arts activities than most other places.
That's what I was about to say. So tell us about that.
Well, it's part of the Minnesota culture is to be somebody interested in experience and participating in arts activities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it is the folks that settled Minnesota way back when, the Swedes, the Germans, the Norwegians, all those cultures have very strong kind of a democratic with a small D arts participation just baked into their culture. The choirs are super popular. There's really strong visual arts history here. There was a really strong German language theater movement
mm-hmm.
during the first wave of immigration. And so it's something kind of built into a Minnesota's DNA
mm-hmm.
is very active arts participation. And then also we had, of course, a lot of really great leaders, civic leaders and business
mm-hmm.
leaders who built up arts organizations over time to make sure that Minnesotans had access to great orchestras and theaters and museums, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all that to build on. And then MCA has been around now. Our 40th anniversary was last year, and we have never stopped pushing to make sure that the state provides enough resources to.
So 40 years, let me go back to, this was passed in 2008, that you've been there doing that for 40 years, minus the time that has passed since 2008. So it took you, how long did it take for you to see a complete, or maybe a mild success and then another one, because it's a long-term commitment, and that is probably something we need to emphasize here.
Well, if you look past over the 40 years, you know, by and large, we made a bit of progress each of the state's biennial budget.
Okay.
Every 2 years, we would make some progress. The only years that wasn't true was when there were a couple giant recessions.
Mm-hmm.
But the people of Minnesota voted on this constitutional amendment in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2008, the stock market, on voting day, the stock market was at 9,625.
Mm-hmm.
So it had dropped to that from a level of 14,000 some at market peak in 2007.
Yeah, it was such a difficult time then.
So Minnesotans actually voted for this even though the economy was going to crap at the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
we were on a deep dive with the economy, and Minnesotans still voted to create a dedicated source of funding for the outdoors and for the arts, even in the midst of that chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what that shows you is that the people themselves put a very high value on both the outdoors and arts and culture in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think there's a thing about it where the citizens can see the direct connection between their vote and what's going to benefit the state and what's going to benefit them,
mm-hmm.
that they knew where these dollars were going to go. And so often, you know, when you're voting for a candidate, you're just crossing your fingers and hoping for the best that they're going to work on the issues that you care about. So in this case, it was a ballot question where the voter could say, okay, I'm voting for the outdoors and I'm voting for arts and culture. It's a direct connection. And that's why the issue polled at 63%
mm-hmm.
on a very consistent basis. And since we passed it, do you support the legacy amendment? Now the support is up at 71-73% statewide.
So help us understand, because frequently the question is, how do I digest advocacy? How does that translate in terms of Minnesotans? How were you able to keep the ball rolling and moving somehow without having these huge accomplishments that sometimes people are used to? Immediate gratification is something that is perhaps not a common ground to advocacy. So help us understand how that was translated in terms of Minnesotans, and how can that be translated in terms of other states, perhaps like Delaware?
Well, part of it is that advocates need to learn that they can be effective, and they need simple tools to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They need most people honestly don't even know who their elected officials are.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't know what issues are currently hot. They're not quite sure what to write about. They don't know what to say. And then some of the other barriers are they think it might take too much time. And you know, there's sort of a learned helplessness sometimes where they think it won't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
You have to help folks get over each of those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I believe you have as well as Minnesota is the Voter Voice program online, which is great because you get in there and it'll tell you who your elected officials are. It gives you some talking points so you know you're talking about the right things.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes like 5 minutes to do it. And over time, it really does have an impact. You can see the policy changes as more people get involved and express themselves. You know, there is no Delaware citizens against the arts, right? You don't have pushback of people saying the arts are worthless, you know.
Right.
We don't
right.
want to know about our cultural legacy. We don't want access to fun activities. We don't want our kids educated well. Nobody's
right.
doing that, right?
True.
So,
true.
So over time, you're educating people and pushing that bar of understanding over. But you have to just keep pushing people to understand how easy it is to access their legislators through an email is the very basic and easiest way to do it.
Right.
But then doing it over time, you get more and more people who feel empowered by participating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a ball rolling downhill.
And we're going to continue talking about how to empower arts advocates. For the time being, let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you are tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOB for the Delaware State of the Arts Radio Show. Our guest today is Sheila Smith. She is Minnesota Citizens for the Arts Executive Director that recently, not recently, but has been accomplishing the legacy amendment every 2 years. For those who are connecting now, Sheila, could you please give us a summary of what the legacy amendment is all about?
Sure. The legacy amendment it was a constitutional amendment passed in Minnesota, created a very tiny increase in the state sales tax that is dedicated to land and water preservation, parks and trails, and the arts and culture.
That's very succinctly, which is fantastic. So we were talking before the break, Sheila, about how to keep people engaged and how little victories lead to huge victories like the one legacy amendment in 2008. But you have to keep pushing. In other words, this is not something that is just going to be there and happen all the time. The fight continues, correct?
That's right. So the equivalent is, you know, if you have a big pile of dirt in a field and it's not where you want it to be, you've got to move the pile of dirt from one place to another. But you don't have a big snow plow or something to move it. You've got a shovel. How are you going to move the pile of dirt? One shovel at a time. You just keep sticking the shovel in, moving the dirt, stick the shovel in, drop it off at the next spot. And then over time, that pile moves over. And advocacy is the same thing. It's not instant gratification. You know, well, sometimes if you're lucky, it's instant gratification. But really, the most effective work is long-term commitment to making change.
So in this long-term commitment, Sheila, frequently you have to demonstrate intermediate outcomes. In other words, they need to relate to small victories in between so you get and accomplish the big, hairy objective that we all want. Tell us about these interim victories that need to happen so people keep engaged and related.
Well, it's how do you define success? You know, and because it's a long-term effort, you
Correct.
Can't just define success by what the outcome was at the legislature this 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
That's too short-sighted. So, you know, there's a process to advocacy. It's figuring out exactly what you're pushing for can be a year-long conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Figuring out who are the elected officials that have power over what you want and establishing relationships with all those folks well before you need to start asking them to support the issue that you want.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a whole bunch of effort. Putting a coalition together, bringing together as many disparate people who share the same goal, getting them into many rooms together to talk to each other, to establish relationships with each other, to build trust amongst the coalition,
mm-hmm.
And to learn from each other what it is that you're going to work together to accomplish, and then to start working on that together. That takes time. It's not, none of these things are instant things.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is, especially coalition building, is super fun. I love
it's super
coalition
fun.
Building. It's super fun because you get all, you can gather people together
uh-huh.
in a room who really do have shared values with you.
Okay.
You know, understanding the importance of the arts to our lives, to our economy, you know, artists themselves, arts teachers, sympathetic legislators, you're all in the same room because you have the same value,
mm-hmm.
which is that you believe the arts are important to our existence.
Okay.
And so establishing relationships amongst all these folks by getting them together in a room and talking enough so that you can finally figure out what is the one thing that everybody agrees to must be our next step,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the fun part.
But coalitions also bring challenges. Not everybody thinks the same way, and there's always something like somebody wants the spotlight. How do you keep these things that naturally arise checked?
Well, there's sort of there's just a real natural sometimes issue that everybody can agree to that
mm-hmm.
is very simple. So say you have four issues, and when the group talks about issue A, you all agree to it. You hardly even have to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about issue B, everybody totally agrees with each other except for one cranky guy in the back row who's always throwing, you know, mean things to say, just that one guy.
Okay.
And then you have a third issue that people are really not sure how to approach that issue. It's too complicated. You need to learn more, not really know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth issue, whenever it comes up in the group explodes in anger and everybody's screaming at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're trying to build a coalition, which of these four issues would you choose to work on first?
Well, plan A.
Well, yeah, obviously. You already agree that this is the thing. You all can agree to that. So
right.
It's probably going to be a pretty simple thing. Like, all the arts organizations in the state need more money to provide greater access to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Something very basic like that. Well, then that's the legislative agenda you should have.
Right.
Is to do everybody should be working together to figure out how can we make that very simple thing happen. If you could accomplish that as a group, then you are totally prepared to move on to that second issue where it was just one cranky guy in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody else has spent all that time working together.
And what do you do with a cranky guy?
You develop trust. You have tools to work with each other now. I think the whole group would probably call to that, turn to the cranky guy and say, hey, the whole community is agreeing that this is the thing that needs to happen. You're the only one who does not agree with this. Can we talk you into it would be the first step. And then if they still are cranky about it, you're like, well, we're going to have to move ahead because everybody else agrees this is where we're going to go.
Right.
But the group itself has more tools. Instead of people being afraid to talk about the issue, they've gotten more skills in working together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get past those first two, you probably have the skills to start working on that third issue, which was really complicated and maybe
mm-hmm.
you need more research, you're not quite sure what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by working together, you've learned everyone's strengths. You probably know somebody in the group who's really good at research. You've probably learned which of the leaders are best able to deal with lots of different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've developed ways to communicate with each other that are working because you got through the two things. You could probably sort out that third issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spend all this time working on all these things together, by the time you get to the fourth issue that used to make everybody scream at each other,
mm-hmm.
hopefully you've turned that number four one into something more like number three, which is, well, I think we need to research, we need to work on this together, we need to talk
right.
about it.
So based on what you are saying and knowing you, pragmatism has a lot to do with being a decent arts advocate. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, the world is never perfect. Nobody gets to insist that their way is the highway. That's just not going to happen.
Okay.
So because political work is coalition work, your job is to make friends everywhere.
Right.
You know, when you're talking to legislators, don't go in there and yell at them. That's the stupidest thing you could possibly do.
Right.
And don't go around assuming other people are stupid, which is a mistake that is very often made by first-time advocates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know everything. I'm perfect. You're stupid. That dynamic will never get you anywhere.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
Nobody likes that. So your goal is to go in and meet with public officials and learn about what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And very often if you get folks talking about the arts, they'll say, well, my daughter's an opera singer in New York. And you're like, no kidding, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody might say, well, when I was a kid, I was really into ballet, and I didn't give it up until I got out of college. I'm like, wow, that's super interesting. So, you know, you're bound to scratch the surface on any human being, and you're going to find some really interesting and positive connection to the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be the basis for the beginning of a conversation of, you know, your childhood was richer because of your experience in working with in ballet, and, you know, wouldn't it be great if all of the kids in the state could have at least even a taste of that?
Mm-hmm.
How can we make that happen? Let's work together.
There you go, which is being nice one-on-one.
Yeah, you got to be nice. People approach politics as in an angry and irritable way. but that's not the key to long-term success. The key to long-term success is making friends with people and talking to them and understanding them as human beings.
And that is well said. And that's arts advocacy again, one-on-one. And Sheila, we have less than a minute left. So if you could succinctly again say words of wisdom to those who want to really be successful advocating, what would that be?
I would say, first of all, just give it a try. Start. If you have never met your legislator, go to one of their public meetings and ask them about their support for the arts. Or call them up and ask if they would have time to meet with you to talk about what's going on in your school in
mm-hmm.
regards to the arts. Just establish a relationship by picking up the phone. That's the first thing. And the second thing is get together with other people who have the same kind of values you do in terms of the importance of the arts. And
mm-hmm.
don't just assume it's people exactly like you, right?
Yep.
So if you're an arts teacher, get together with the people that work at nonprofit arts organization in town.
And with that, guess what? I think that's exactly what we needed, and we are running out of time. Want to thank you again for your time, Sheila. So much to learn from you. Thank you.
My pleasure.